Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Pack the kids in the cooler in the car, head out for the great South Dakota road trip. But this summer, give travel a twist. The editors of South Dakota Magazine encourage you to travel like it's 1938 with the May-June issue of the magazine. We're going to dig into that and some more stories from the magazine as well that deal with hunting for agate. John Andrews is managing editor, and he's joining me in the studios in Vermilion. Hey, John. Welcome back.
Good to be back. Thanks, Lori.
We're going to get to the Fairburn Agate here pretty soon, but I want to talk about this travel like it's 1938, because it's time to plan your road trips. I use plural because I intend to take several this summer.
Good.
And
good.
Y'all found this sort of interesting-looking travel guide. It's here in the studio. We'll have to describe it for listeners. Mm-hmm. But
well, it is photographed. If people have copies of the magazine and they turn to page 26, they'll see a copy of the old red-bound South Dakota guide. So, you know, during the Depression, they have all of these make-work projects going on just to get people back into the workforce. Things like the CCC, you know, Civilian Conservation Corps, and that sort of thing. They also put together a federal writers project. And in South Dakota, they have one in each state. And in South Dakota, the director was a young journalist named Lyle Reese. And I found it interesting. I found a memoir that Mr. Reese had written many years after it was all done. And looking back and reflecting on it, he said something like, you know, the agency that people were maybe least expecting to have any sort of lasting value was the Federal Writers Project. Yet here we are 80 years later with the guide that they produced, and going back and seeing what we can find that was there when they were there. So they were just kind of this ragtag group of writers and photographers, journalists, artists. They got together and they wrote road trips, basically, is what they did. If you have a copy of the original one, or they did a reprint of the South Dakota Guide in 2005 as well.
But, so just getting this printed was a challenge, because the funds sort of run out, right, at some point?
People didn't
pull the plug.
There was a quote we have in the magazine about how eventually people didn't think that the South Dakota one was going to be worth it because we were the only state that just had one bookstore. But eventually, the legislature managed to get, I think, $2,000 appropriated so that they could print a bunch of copies of this. And they finally got it out just a few weeks before the legislature actually abolished the program. So,
where do you find the old hardcover copy of it there?
Well, you might have to visit rummage sales. You might have to find estate sales. Maybe someone's got one for sale on eBay. I'm not even sure where this one came from.
Right.
If it's mine, or if it's one that the magazine office had from estate sales gone by. But they are available out there. They're kind of scarce. You're obviously more likely to get the 2005 reprint that the State Historical Society put out.
So. Sure. And so many of the places there, as life would have it, are no longer exist. But you have pages and pages of things in the 1938 guide that still exist in South Dakota, in the state, in various forms.
Right. So we kind of tag-teamed this story. Bernie Hunoff and Katie Hunoff and I all took little portions of it. And I think Bernie was out in Rapid City, and I know that Katie was in Sioux Falls, and I did a couple of side trips back and forth on various trips that I was going on as well. So we were able to cover most of the ground, most of South Dakota. So And some things are there and some things are not.
Right. Give me something that's there still that's recognizable to folks.
Okay. Well, right away on the first page, we've got the beautiful Memorial Hall. So how we organize the story is for each of these places, there's sort of an italicized introduction. And those are taken word for word from the 1938 guide. Mm-hmm. We've gotten a couple of letters to the editor that are calling us on our reporting, but we need to, I guess, again, make it clear that what they're calling us out on is the stuff that appeared in the 1938 guide. So, I mean, this is how people viewed these places and people and things 80 years ago.
Well, that's part of the value of the article, is that you get to see how those writers at that time in 1938 described, you know, what you were seeing, and then there's a contemporary.
Right. Like warts and all, we'll say.
Warts and all, yeah.
So, yeah, the first thing, you know, right away is the Memorial Hall. And, of course, when the 1938 writers were out doing their travels, this was the home of the State Historical Society, which has since moved into the Cultural Heritage Center. And now this building, Memorial Hall, is the home of the Department of the Military and the State Department of Veterans Affairs. Hmm. So that's one thing. And Bernie found the Chick Sale House, which is right next door in Huron. Chick Sale was apparently a really interesting writer, I guess, in the early 1900s.
Interesting.
But he was born and raised in Huron, and his house is still there.
Right. And, of course, the Corn Palace is there. And, of course, there are cemeteries, you know, there and colonies and schools and, you know, all kinds of historic buildings that have been preserved.
One thing that I found interesting is one of the pieces I wrote was on Owacoma. And I found it interesting how the writers, when they went through, kind of noticed that Owacoma was sort of deteriorating and called it a ghost town in the making.
Really?
Well, I think if you drive through today, Owacoma is not a ghost town.
So. And Washington High School, which, you know, what a pleasant surprise from 1938 to think of it as this sort of million-dollar high school to,
The interesting
to
thing
what
about,
it is now.
Yeah, the interesting thing, you know, we have in the photo that we have here, it shows the what they called in 1938 the black quartzite. Mm. But it's something that we discovered. I think Katie discovered this when she was researching it. It's actually called Corson Diabase, a billion-year-old molten rock that flowed into fractures of the Rose Quartzite that is still Sioux Falls' signature building material. So,
well,
the 1938 guys got a lot right. They, I guess they flubbed a few things. We do the same thing today, I guess. We don't always get everything 100% right, even though we try really hard to do so.
And readers will let you know.
Readers will let us know.
When
absolutely.
You don't, for sure.
Absolutely.
All right, so I want to talk about this other, and again, you can hear us flipping through the pages. Isn't that this nice retro radio sound of us flipping through the pages of our South Dakota Magazine May, June issues, and we've got them in front of us. I hope you've got yours in front of you, too. If not, you know, what are you doing? Subscribe.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. We have a very easy toll-free number, 1-800-456-5117. Real people will talk to you when you dial that number. So.
Right. And this issue here belongs to somebody who works at SDPB that I have in front of me, and it says it's a gift from Grandma on the back. So, you know, Grandma,
lots,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Grandma
lots
will
of,
give you the present.
Gift
makes me happy to think that Grandma's providing the magazine still after all these years. So let's go in search of Fairburn Agate.
Let's.
Because what is it? Everybody knows except for me. And I'm reading the article going, well, I didn't know all that.
The Fairburn Agate is the state gemstone, and I brought, well, there's a, the quick synopsis of the story is that we went on a hunt for Fairburn Agates, just to kind of get into the minds of the rock hunting community, because there are people who plan their weekends around going out to search for Fairburn Agates. And so we got a hold of some longtime Fairburn hunters. We went out. They took us along. I brought the agate that I found. It's not great radio because no one else can see
I'm holding it in my hand.
Unless they
tiny.
Have the magazine because it is pictured on page 50, the agate that
it's
we found.
It's beautiful. Tell me about the different colors and the layers. What do we know about this stone?
Well, most of what we know is very recent knowledge, I guess.
Okay.
You know, for these things have been laying under the ground out there for millions and millions of years, and it really has only been in the last 80 or so years that people are going out and finding these things and realizing what a rarity there are. So there are all sorts of agates that you can find, which I discovered when I was out there, because when I found something that I thought was a Fairburn agate, I was told, nope, that's a prairie agate, nope, that's a water agate, nope, that's a something other agate. And they said, if you have to ask if it's a Fairburn, then it's not.
Okay.
And I didn't really understand, you know, understood what that meant until we found the Fairburn. And I realized, yep, that's not like anything else that we've discovered.
Mm-hmm.
So Fairburns, we sort of talk about it a little bit in the article. They form over time deposits of silica. You know, out in the Black Hills, it used to be this great sea bottom, right? And so over the years, silica would sort of trickle down into these pockets. And you would add different elements and compounds. The red in that agate is probably iron oxide. There's magnesium. They form the different colors. They're still sort of trying to figure out why the agates get the tight banding, you know, the tight stripes and that sort of stuff. But there's a lot that we still don't know about agates. But we know that they're rare. You know, you can only find them in southwestern South Dakota and just across the border into Northwest Nebraska.
How do you look?
Well, this is how we looked. We went out. We went to a place called the Fairburn Agate Beds which are east of Fairburn, a tiny town in Custer County. You go to Fairburn, and then you head onto the gravel road about another 13 or 14 miles. And when you get out there, you are very truly off-roading it. You cross French Creek, which on the day we were there was all dried up, so there was no splish-splashing. It was just going across this rocky, dried-out creek bed. And when you get out into the actual agate beds, it really is like you're on the moon. Yeah. And that's what the guy I went with is Don Barr. He's been hunting agates for many years now. And he made the comment, you know, it's like you're walking on the moon out here. And it really is. It's otherworldly. You might think about going out into the Badlands and that kind of landscape. This is totally different because you have these hills. They're gray, gray gumbo hills. You know, on a day that we're out there, it's really warm and the sun is baking this gumbo into the ground. So it's really hard and slippery to walk across. But if you get a little bit of rain, or if you have a spray bottle of water like we had to help identify these agates, and you spray it on there, then this gumbo turns into something that is just really, really sticky, and you just cannot get it off of your fingers. You try to wipe it on your clothing or something, and it's on there forever, you know. So, I mean, it's totally otherworldly when you're out there. And the tools we had for the day were a bottle of water, a spray bottle of water, and a garden fork. So what you do is you walk up and down these hills and you just drag your garden fork across the top layer where all these stones are, and you hope to turn up something that looks like a Fairburn agate.
How often are you successful? Is it the hunt that makes it worth it? Is it the discovery? I mean, are you going to get something every time?
No, you're definitely not going to get something every time. Our trip was a complete aberration because I can't tell you how many times leading up to the trip our friend Don would tell us, well, you know, I can't guarantee anything. Right. I don't know if we're going to find anything when we go out there. Because one of the ladies that I mentioned in the story, her name is June Culp Zeitner. She's like the first lady of gems in South Dakota. Mm-hmm. She just passed away here within the last few years. But she wrote, you know, hundreds of magazine articles and books about rock hounding out in the Black Hills. And Don told me that he heard a story once that June had brought a few of her friends out and actually camped out at the Fairburn agate beds over like four or 5 days, and they found nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
So
we were out there.
We found
this little guy in like 20 minutes, which was completely not what anyone was expecting.
Right. And you're going to hang on to it for the rest of your life because
it is my prized possession.
I'm wondering if you would read just the introduction of the story that you wrote for South Dakota Magazine, because it's just, I mean, not to embarrass you, but it's, the whole piece is so beautifully written that I want to hear this introduction read in your voice so people can really understand that, you know, it's more than just a guide, you know, for rock hounding. This is some really top-notch writing in this magazine. Every issue offers this. I know. I've embarrassed you, and I'm going to ask you to read.
It's a good thing we're not on television, because I'm blushing now.
Would you read the beginning of your piece, John Andrews, for me,
please? Sure. Okay. It was barely past 9 a.m., and sweat already soaked our shirts. The forecast called for highs in the 90s, but as the sun baked the hardened gumbo and reflected off rocks strewn throughout the Kern agate beds east of Fairburn, we could feel the midday heat about 6 hours early. We had met Don Barr, a retired law enforcement officer and rock hound, in Rapid City at 7:30 that morning and headed south toward Fairburn in search of Fairburn agates, perhaps the most sought-after gemstone in South Dakota. I can't guarantee anything, Barr had cautioned us several times in the preceding months as we planned our trip, knowing that people have spent days scraping and turning rocks only to leave with nothing. We told them that we understood. We didn't really expect to find anything. We just wanted an inside look at this rare and valuable gem that beckons to rock hounds far and wide, who venture far off the beaten path hoping to find a Fairburn, or even a piece of a Fairburn, even though at the end of the day all they have are a backache and a sweat-soaked shirt.
John Andrews, you didn't just whip that out. It's just, you know, it's a great article written from start, a great feature from start to finish, great writing.
Thank you.
Great photography and great stories in this magazine every time. There I go again, editorializing about how much I love South Dakota Magazine.
You can editorialize all
Sorry. Hey, thank you so much for coming as the May, June issue. It's on stands now. Go pick it up today. Appreciate your time. We'll see you next time.
You bet. Thank you much.